welcome to another InventRight.com interview with InventRight co-founders Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Today's guest is Guy Kawasaki. Guy is Managing Director of Garage Technology Ventures, an early-stage venture capital firm and a columnist for Entrepreneur Magazine. He's also co-founder of the online magazine rack alltop.com, as well as a husband, father, author, speaker, and hockey addict. For nearly three decades, Kawasaki has earned a stellar reputation as an entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and a reverent pundit. Previously, he was an Apple Fellow at Apple Computer Inc. Guy is also the author of nine books, including his latest book, Reality Check. His 2004 bestseller, The Art of the Start, has become the most acclaimed Bible for small business, and his blog is consistently one of the 50 most popular in the world. Now in his latest book, Reality Check, Kawasaki has compiled his best wit, wisdom, and contrarian opinions in handy book form. From competition to customer service, innovation to marketing, he shows readers how to ignore fads and foolishness while sticking to common sense practices in his latest book, Reality Check.
Guy, I want to welcome you to today's show. And first thing I want to ask you is about your alltop. It's brand new. I guess it's brand new. We have it on our site. We love it. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, alltop is an online magazine rack, if you will. So imagine you're going to a Borders or a Barnes & Noble. You walk into the store and you see, racks of magazines. And there's design magazines, sports magazines, car magazines, celebrity magazines. And they're face out, and they kind of show you what the inside story is to sort of get you to pick up the magazine and eventually buy it. We have the same sort of metaphor, only instead of collecting magazine subscriptions, we collect RSS subscriptions, and we too are divided by topics. We have over 300 topics that pretty much mirror what magazines have: celebrities, fashion, sports, baseball, football, wine, food. And then we have some topics that are much deeper, like issues like human rights, slavery, autism, adoption, homeschooling. For each of these topics, we aggregate the stories from the top blogs and websites for a topic. We display their last five stories, and if you mouse over the headline of the story, you see the first paragraph of the story to determine if you want to click through. So some people may wonder, well, I already use Google to do this. And you really don't. Let me give you an illustration. If you wanted to know how many people live in China, you would type in something like how many or population of China, and Google will answer that question. It will show you Wikipedia or Answers.com or the CIA database or the China Tourism Authority will show you the answer, how many people live in China. That's not the question that Alltop answers. Alltop answers the question, how do I keep current on the news about China? And so you go to china.alltop, and you'll see literally dozens of sites and blogs about China that have all the news there.
Well, you know what I like about it so much, Guy, is that I look at it every day on our forum, and it changes. So constantly it changes. So I find myself constantly going back and back and back and reading about all the things that I'm interested in, especially about innovation. So
We check every one of these feeds every hour. So the oldest or the longest a story could be out that's not on Alltop, I guess, is 60 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
We try to keep it very current, and in a sense, that's like a Barnes & Noble or Borders on steroids. I mean, they probably swap their magazines every month, right? So the new issue of Road & Track comes in, you take the old one out, you put the new one in. Well, their refresh time is a month, our refresh time is an hour.
Wow. Wonderful. Now, one last question on that topic. Yeah. When are you going to add inventors to that list, Guy?
Well, we have innovation. We could do inventors. No one's suggested it to us. If that's a completely separate topic, I just don't know enough about it. If that's a completely separate topic, we absolutely could do it. Are there, 50 to 100 blogs about inventing as opposed to innovation?
Well, I think there's going to be much more with innovation, but we've just found with all the TV shows that are out now, from Donnie's Big Idea to Everyday Edisons, and there's a couple new ones. I think there's an audience for it.
Yeah. And this would be specifically creating gadgets, I mean, stuff like that that's different than creating the next Facebook, for example?
It's a little bit different, and I'm not quite sure why, but when I look at all the articles on innovation, it's a little bit broader, but they're not really talking about the latest gadgets, for instance, or...
Well, but we have that covered. We have gadgets.alltop. We also have lifehacks.alltop. We also have DIY.alltop. And we have GTD, getting things done.alltop. So we probably have it covered someplace.
All right. I'll take a look around.
Okay.
Well, we've got some other questions today. And I think the first one, and I think it's a very important one for all the people at All Business, is that when someone comes up with a new product idea or service, what is the first thing they should do?
Well, if you ask me, the very first thing that someone who has an idea should do is start prototyping. That is, hopefully they can prototype themselves, or they have a friend or a colleague or a co-founder or something who has the ability to not just think of the idea, but also create a prototype of the idea. In my career, it's been my experience that good ideas are easy and implementation is hard. So, a lot of hand-waving and wishful thinking and delusions go away when you have a prototype and you see that nobody cares or no dog eats the food. And so I think many entrepreneurs make the mistake of cogitating too much. And what they should do is prototype and, truly find out what people think.
If it's a service, what could they possibly do to prototype a service? Do they actually have to produce it, or can they... Maybe produce a sell sheet or maybe a little video?
Well, depends on what kind of service you mean. You mean an online service or a dry cleaning service?
Well, let's say dry cleaning.
Yeah, that's a little tougher. Because, you can't exactly rent a store for a month and see if people will come in and bring their shirts, right? I don't think you could also... Now, on the other hand, slightly different... You definitely, if you own the restaurant, you could definitely experiment with new kinds of cuisine, right? I don't know if you decided that you're going to make a noodle bar that you can't exactly rent a storefront for a month to see if people eat noodles.
That's a good one. Guy, in your new book, Reality Check, you ask people to ask themselves the questions. The question, the very important question, is your product deep, intelligent, complete, elegant, and emotive? Why do people need to ask themselves these questions?
Well, because when you read a book or you hear a keynote speech, there's what I call the keynote speech phenomenon, which is you're paying close attention, hopefully, and you're taking notes even, and you're saying, wow, this speaker is so impressive, so much wisdom, so much content. I'm going to write this stuff down, okay? And then you go home from the conference, and you whip out your notes, and you look at it, and the speaker said, you need to be innovative. And you say to yourself, well, duh, compared to what? So I just went to that conference, I listened to that keynote, and he said, be innovative. Thank God I listened to that keynote speaker, because until he said that, I was just going to create crap. And now I know I was doing the wrong thing. So the reason why I stick dicey in my book is because I need to go down from one level. Yes, you need to be innovative. You need to jump curves. But what does it mean? I mean, how do you know you're jumping curves? So I created the acronym DICEY for deep, i.e. lots of features, lots of power. Intelligent, i.e. you've anticipated what people need. Complete, the totality of the product, the service, the enhancements, the online supports. Elegant, the user interface design, and emotive, it generates strong emotions. So when you come down from 50,000 feet to 5,000 feet, when you've gone from B-1 bomber to A-10 Warthog, that's when you ask yourself, well, is what I'm creating deep, intelligent, complete, elegant, and emotive?
Well, Guy, another question. If you've got a product, a new product idea or services, and you want to figure out if it's a good idea, how can you try to bring it to market with no budget or even test it to see if you really don't have the funds to do it?
Well, this is why it's easier to be an author and speaker than an entrepreneur, because I can make this recommendation. It's so sage. Then I have to try to do it, right? Now, having said that, you know, I guess the message I'm trying to get at is, if you're sitting there as a small business person or an entrepreneur and you're saying, well, I have this idea, and step one is I have to raise $2 million. And then with the $2 million, I'll build the prototype, and with what's left over, I'll market the product. In this kind of climate, economic climate, and in this kind of mindset, that dog don't hunt anymore. It just doesn't work like that. So you come up with, the way it should work is you come up with an idea. By jumping through hoops, come hell or high water, somehow you figured out how to prototype it. It's because you steal computing time from a lab. It's because you get spare parts out of the dumpster. It's because your cousin, uncle, son, brother, wife, sister, you know, can help you out. I don't know what it is, but somehow you get this thing cobbled together. You use open source if you're making software. Somehow you cobble this thing together, and then you get it out to the market. Now, then you ask, well, I don't have $2 million to run a Super Bowl commercial. My response is, thank God you don't, because if you did, you'd spend it in a stupid Super Bowl commercial, and you'd blow your whole wad. So it's better to assume you have nothing. Now, assuming you have nothing, how would you do it? You would use email. You would suck up to bloggers. You would use Twitter. You would use Plurk. You would use, you know, Facebook, fan pages, MySpace, whatever it is. All that stuff is free. And it may not literally be free, but on the spectrum of free to Super Bowl commercial, it's a lot closer to free.
Mm. Guy, I really like that you emphasize the presentation of a product. In your book, you ask, can you blow an audience away with a demonstration of your product? My question to you is, how do you blow an audience away?
Well, the 80% of that is you have to have a great product. So if you have a great product, you know, the hard part is done. This is what I call Guy's golden touch. And Guy's golden touch is not whatever I touch turns to gold. Guy's golden touch is whatever is gold Guy touches. So what I'm trying to communicate in this demo chapter is, you want to be a good demonstrator? Demonstrate good stuff. Because it's so hard to demonstrate crap. And, you know, that's not necessarily your fault if you have to demonstrate crap. So step one is demonstrate something good. Step two is, you know, the pace. The pace on a demo is you want to show, you know, the what and the how. You know, this is what my product can do. This is how it does it. Most people spend much too much time on the why. And the why, you stand up there, you say, well, you know, haven't you always wanted to get a community of senior citizens who can discuss travel as they go through Romania and Bulgaria. And so the next time you want to take a trip to Romania, you type in Romania at seniortravel.com, and you find the forum, and you say, haven't you always wanted to do that? And the audience is sitting there saying, well, actually, no, I don't really want to go to Romania. I don't want to know what these old fucks care about in Romania. So, you know, what you ought to do is, this is our travel site. This is how it works. This is how you create your profile. This is how you find other profiles. This is how you comment. Just dive right into it. And most people, another big mistake that many demonstrators make is they want to be funny. You know, they try to stand up there and they crack a joke. Like, you know, people go to these things and they say, well, you know, this is my partner, and he and I have created this site because one time he went to Romania, and he thought that Romania didn't need a visa, and he got there, and it did require a visa, so he was stuck in jail for 2 days. You know, and they think that's a funny joke, and everybody's going to laugh and be empathetic, and the joke absolutely fails. So now the guy's all shook up. He started his demo with a joke that didn't work. He's all shook up. He's lost his confidence. He's stumbling. Now he's going to tell you the why. And the whole thing just sucks. And the bottom line is, get to it, buddy. Just jump in and start demoing.
How important is practicing?
That's the way to get to Carnegie Hall. I have given my speech, The Art of Innovation, probably 200 or 300 times. And I now feel perfectly comfortable doing it. I can do it without PowerPoint, with PowerPoint. The other day I was in Palm Springs making a speech for Ernst & Young. And there's a part of the speech where, the only part where I have 4 paragraphs of text because it's a very moving ad from Nike. And the way the projector was set up, it cut off one paragraph of the text. And to put it mildly, my whole point on this text was this great ad for Nike women's aerobic shoes showing how they turn shoes into a cause. And the last paragraph is sort of the crowning point of the text. And it wasn't there on the screen. And luckily, I just had that memorized. And so I could just rip it off without looking at it. And that only is because of rote memorization. It's not like, I'm particularly smart. So practice.
If you make a blunder or a mistake, how do you recover from it?
Well, first of all, at any given point, if you make a blunder or a mistake in a demo, roughly half the audience doesn't realize it. So one logic is just blow past it. The second logic is, if it's truly a big mistake, I think the way, if you can't blow past it and so nobody notices it, then you should highlight the hell out of it. You should just say, listen, I just blew it. Like, I'll give you a good example. It's kind of related. Last night I spoke for the Commonwealth Club of Silicon Valley. And this is a really elite club. You know, they invite Ted Turner, those kind of level people, right? Big audiences. And so I was on stage, and it was a fireside chat format. And I don't know, the guy got on the question, and I said, well, when I come and speak to the Churchill Club like I am tonight, and the Churchill Club is another kind of club, kind of competitive, and, it would be like, if you were speaking for a crowd of Visa employees and you said MasterCard.
Oh, no.
So I realized that I said Churchill Club instead of Commonwealth Club. So I just stopped and I said, you know what? I guess I'm getting senile because I know I'm at the Commonwealth Club. This is not the Churchill Club. So just understand that. So, this is what was going through my mind is, most people probably didn't even catch that. But some people did, and some people did. They're going to think I'm either stupid or senile or clueless or, whatever. So you might as well just lay it on out there.
Guy, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and look forward to maybe having you back. And once again, I do love your Alltop. It's wonderful. And I will send this out to everybody, and I'll give you a heads up when we get you up on All Business. But once again,
okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Guy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.